the science of magnetism had its origin in ancient times, and today we have put that discovery to great practical use, from small refrigerator magnets to magnetic recording tape and computer discs. Let's get into this interesting chapter, Moving Charges and Magnetism, where we compute the magnetic force and magnetic fields in different cases. We know that a static charge is a source of electric field only, while a moving charge is a source of both electric and magnetic fields. A moving charge produces a magnetic field, which in turn exerts a force on another moving charge. The total force on a charge Q moving with velocity V, in the presence of magnetic and electric fields B and E respectively, is called the Lorentz force, given by the expression Q times V cross B plus E. We next have a straight current-carrying conductor of length L carrying a steady current I, and its force experienced is IL cross B. Have you heard of the cyclotron? The cyclotron is used to accelerate charged particles. In a uniform magnetic field B, a charge Q executes a circular orbit in a plane normal to B, and its frequency of uniform circular motion is called the cyclotron frequency, given by QB over 2 pi m. The very famous Biot-Savart law asserts that the magnetic field DB, due to an element DL, carrying a steady current I at a point P at a distance r from the current element, is the constant mu naught by 4 pi times IDL cross R by R cube. And as we've been learning, to obtain the total field at P, we must integrate this vector expression over the entire length of the conductor. The magnitude of the magnetic field due to a circular coil of radius R carrying a current I at an axial distance x from the center is mu naught I R square by 2 times x square by r square raised to 3 over 2. And at the center, this expression reduces to mu naught I by 2 r. Now, things get simpler and easier with Ampere's circuital law. Let an open surface S be bound by a loop C. Then the Ampere's law states that the line integral BDL equals mu naught I, where I refers to the current passing through S. The magnitude of the magnetic field at a distance r from a long straight wire carrying a current is given by mu naught I by 2 r. The field lines are circles concentric with the wire. The magnitude of the field inside a long solenoid carrying a current I is mu naught n I, where n is the number of turns per unit length. And for a toroid, we obtain the expression mu naught ni by 2 pi r, where this n is the total number of turns and r is the average radius. Ensure that you remember this fact: parallel currents attract and anti-parallel currents repel. A planar loop carrying a current I having n closely wound turns and an area A possesses a magnetic moment m, where m equals nia, and the direction of m is given by the right-hand thumb rule. Let's do this together, guys. Curl the palm of your right hand along the loop with the fingers pointing in the direction of the current. Your thumb sticking out gives the direction of M. When this loop is placed in an uniform magnetic field, the force is zero and the torque on it is M cross B. In a moving coil galvanometer, this torque is balanced by a counter torque due to a spring yielding K phi equals NIAB, where phi is the equilibrium deflection and K is the torsion constant of the spring. An electron moving around the central nucleus has a magnetic moment mu L given by E by 2m times L, where L is the magnitude of the angular momentum of the circulating electron about the central nucleus. The smallest value of mu L is called the Bohr magnetron, and it is 9.27 into 10 raised to minus 24 joule per Tesla. Finally, a moving coil galvanometer can be converted into an ammeter by introducing a shunt resistance RS of a small value in parallel, and it can be converted into a voltmeter by introducing a resistance of a large value in series. And that was a quick summary of the moving charges and magnetism.